the Lord has made.
Let's rejoice and be glad in it. He is good. Did we have some nice quiet time last night before the Lord and just saying, Lord, help us get rid of this junk, whatever the junk was? And it's, as we know, it's a continual process. I feel it's, for me, it's now every day, it's hour by hour, moment by moment. Lord, take this away. And He's faithful, and He does. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I'm going to read just a short portion because we're kind of going to be all over, but we're going to be covering this portion this morning. There in verse 5, beginning. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole of the multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time we can spend in your word, Lord. We ask, Father, that every heart would be able to hear your voice, that you would prepare everyone, every one of us, Lord, including me, especially me, that I would be sensitive and that we would all be sensitive to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church in these last days. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful. In Jesus' name. You know, there's something about the changing of seasons that is fun. I think we enjoy the change. I know I do. Kind of getting rid of the wardrobe of the last season and maybe buying something new, and it's a fun time. What's not so fun is changing of seasons of one's life, the emotional ups and downs that it can bring to us. Such was the case in the life of Elizabeth. She was one of the daughters of Aaron and the wife of Zacharias the priest, and as we know, the cousin of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. If you look at verse 6, it says, both of them, speaking of Elizabeth and Zacharias, both of them being righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Here were two people that were walking with the Lord, blameless. They were doing all the right things, but yet Elizabeth was barren. She had no child. This can seem really cruel if we can look at some people and say, how come they can have so many kids and 5, 6 kids or 2 or 3 and others don't? For instance, I mean, there's many, many things, but children can be one. So this, especially in that culture, was looked down upon as being just write her off, Elizabeth. She's barren. But yet, from the text, we can see she was in the autumn of her life. Verse 7 says that she was well stricken in years. I'm sure she was a woman that had no doubt longed for a child. Yet as the sands of time had slipped by, her hope also may have faded. But God had a plan, a wonderful plan. You should do a study sometime on but God. It's really interesting. I've been meaning to do it. I mean, it comes up every so often, but God. And read all of the instances in the Bible where it says about God. In his foreknowledge of the situation, and because of his sovereignty over all situations, he was going to use the problem to bring about a divine solution. With God, all things are not always as they appear. He delights in doing the impossible. Andrew Murray, a great Scotsman, once said, "We have a God who delights in impossibilities." Take that quote down. I think it's a really good quote of Andrew Murray. We have a God who delights in impossibilities. This indeed was a problem for Elizabeth, though, being in the autumn of her life, in the natural, impossible. In the supernatural, very possible. Elizabeth believed God. Therefore, I believe she was a woman of faith. Her very name means God is my oath. Elizabeth means God is my oath. Zacharias, though, on the other hand, even although he had been in prayer for a really long time, if you look at verse 13, it said, "Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." He would daily offer up prayers in the temple. This was the job of the priests. And I'm sure many, many years before, he had prayed, and possibly at the top of his list was, "Lord, grant me a child, especially a son." But you know, as the years had gone by, I'm sure that had begun to fade from Zacharias' mind and from his lips, that prayer, because he knew, hey, we're getting up in years. It's no longer possible at all. So he didn't have the faith at that time because he was struck dumb. He just didn't believe God. But God had not forgotten Zacharias' request or Elizabeth's, not in God's part. You know why? Because God, he remembers, he hears, he cares, and he answers always. Remember that. And I'm going to repeat that line throughout this lesson this morning. God remembers, he hears, he cares, he answers always. Even although it seems to us, because we're not getting heard right now, today, that doesn't mean to say God didn't hear you or doesn't care. He's listening, and he's going to answer. He's going to come through one way or the other. Have you ever had a prayer that you just keep requesting to God over and over and over again? You storm heaven with all your strength. You're travailing over the situation. And coming back from heaven is nothing but silence. Silence. There's no answer. You wonder, does God care? Is he listening? This is the time, I can guarantee you, when Satan will come in and whisper in your ear or through other people, say, God doesn't care about you. He'll do it for everybody else, not for you. Just go have fun. Just go party. Just go. Don't bother about the things of God, because he doesn't care at all about you. But oh yes, he does. Remember, he hears, he cares, and he answers always. Zacharias, though, may have thought that his prayer had not been heard and simply moved on with his life because he certainly didn't believe. Verse 20 is clear on that one. If we look at the text. "Behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Unbelief. Get a list here that I'd actually heard from a teaching tape of Pastor Chuck, and I was so impressed by his contrast between faith and unbelief that I typed it up, and I'm going to read you what it says. You know, the children of Israel, you know, when they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they never entered because of unbelief. and we're going to cover that in this little list here. That was the longest funeral march in history. Because they were all going to die. Why? Because God wasn't being good to them and kind to them. God took care of them, but they didn't believe. So let's look at this list here. Some contrast between faith and unbelief. Faith believes the promises of God. Unbelief doubts the promises of God. Faith believes the word of God because it's true. Unbelief doubts the truth of the word. Faith sees more in the promise of God to help than all other forces to hinder. Unbelief looks at the problems and declares it just cannot be done. Faith will cause you to see the love in the heart of Christ even when he is reproving you. Unbelief will imagine that he is angry even when he is speaking words of love. Faith will help the soul to wait even when God delays. Unbelief will give up if there's any tarrying at all. Faith makes heavy burdens light. Unbelief makes light burdens heavy. Faith helps when we are down. Unbelief brings us down when we are up. Faith sets men free. Unbelief holds men in bondage. Faith purifies our hearts. Unbelief pollutes our hearts. Faith makes our most feeble works acceptable unto God through Christ. Unbelief makes our greatest works unacceptable. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and without faith it's impossible to please God. This list goes on and on, but I think you get the point of believing or not. So Zacharias didn't believe. His wife Elizabeth, on the other hand, she trusted and she believed. We're reminded of another woman in the Old Testament, Hannah. She was also in the autumn or the fall of her years. We call it the fall in America. I learned that when I went over there. It's not autumn, it's fall. But in the book of 1 Samuel, you don't have to turn there at all. But Hannah had the same problem. She was getting up there, and she didn't have a child. Her husband and her would go up yearly to Shiloh, and there they would worship and sacrifice to God. Hannah would plead before the Lord for a child. She wept so bitterly one time that Eli the priest thought she was drunk because she was just travailing so much before the altar. She wasn't drunk. She was pouring out her heart to the Lord, to the God of heaven. Eli answered her and told her that she could go away in peace because the God of Israel had granted her her petition that she had asked. Now, Hannah, at this point, had a choice to believe or not, because she was still in Shiloh. She was still up in this area where the sacrifices were being done and the worship. She didn't go to Boots the chemist and get a pregnancy test done, and it was positive. Not at all, because some time had passed. I'm sure, we don't know how many months, maybe years, before she actually did get pregnant. But it tells us in 1 Samuel, in 1 Samuel, in verse 18, that her countenance was no more sad. And she was still up there. No evidence, absolutely no evidence at all, but she believed. Her countenance no more sad. She had gone up to Shiloh with the burden. She was carrying this heavy load. But you know what? She left it there. She never carried the burden back down from Shiloh. She believed. Do we relate to this? Do we ever pray about something and just simply leave it there? Or do we carry it? Do we carry it back from Shiloh? Do we carry this big heavy load? Because we do. We're all guilty. It's like, okay, I prayed about it. That's it. It's done. And then wait a minute, you're still carrying the load because we still have a heaviness. We do still have a heaviness. So we have a choice to come back down from Shiloh with the burden
or just simply leave it. Leave it at the cross of Christ. There's a song that says, excuse me, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The Bible says he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And we'll know that we've left it there because there's going to be a peace within us that will pass all understanding. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This is a promise. God is the initiator of every promise in the Bible. Did you know that? Every promise in the Bible. There are so many. He is the initiator. He made the promise. He's going to come through. So we're going to have that peace. And you know what it does when it's the peace of God? It goes beyond the intellect. Look, this is your mind, your intellect. This peace bypasses the mind or the situation or the circumstances that you're in. And it penetrates right to your heart. And that's where the peace lies, because you can say, oh, but wait a minute, I should be feeling burdened. I should be, you know, I'm in a situation today, as I speak to you women, where there's a lot going on in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural. And in the physical material world is a reflection of what's going on in the heavenly realm. So I know there's incredible things going on up there. There's battles going on, because in the material right now, I'm experiencing tremendous warfare. Tremendous. I'm not at liberty to go into it, but I know God's kind of come through, because I have the peace of God that goes beyond my mind right now. It goes beyond the circumstances, because if I look at the circumstances, I would be absolutely stressed. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be having or experiencing the peace of God. I would be just beside myself with worry and, oh, what if? But no, I'm not. I'm honestly not, because I know that I have the peace of God that goes beyond the situation, beyond the circumstances, and goes right to my heart. That's why I can smile. That's why I can say with confidence, hey, God's going to come through. Somebody once said, if you don't stand up for something, you're going to fall for anything. I choose to stand up and say, I believe. I believe in God's word. I believe that all the promises are true. I believe that I will see him one day face to face, and everything else will disappear and melt and won't matter. I believe that today. And that's why I have the peace of God. And I encourage you, exhort you, to look beyond today, look beyond this moment, because we're on our road to glory. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We are on the glory road. Our goal, our whole focus has to be Christ and him crucified, the cross before us, the world behind us, the song says. The cross before us. We gotta move on from these circumstances today and look towards the glory road that we're walking. He never said that it was going to be easy. Jesus never said it was. But he says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never give you too much than you can handle. I feel I'm getting too much than I can handle, but yet that peace that we talked about is going beyond my intellect and right to my heart. Elizabeth chose to believe. And like Hannah, she conceived. Elizabeth is a wonderful reminder that God never forgets or abandons his own, and that his timing is always perfect. You see, in his plan and in his timing, he was going to do for Elizabeth so much more than she could ever imagine in her wildest dreams. Because she was going to birth the child that would be the forerunner to the Messiah, the one who would prepare the way for the Savior. You know John the Baptist. He was the one that was going preaching. He would wear the weird clothes, kind of like me. You know, I talked to Kay a couple of years ago, my spiritual mom, and I said, Kay, you know what? When I'm up in the podium, you know everybody wears like dresses and flowery dresses, and but you know, it's not me. I tried, you know, when I went to America, I really tried to get into that mold of whatever a Christian should be, woman. I believe you have to be very modest. That's number one. But I could never get into the flowery dresses and the bow in the hair and the lace Bible covers. Somehow, you remember Little House on the Prairie? You know, I got to tell you a story. I've got a confession to make, okay? When I first went over there to the States, I lived at Green Valley Lake for 2-3 months. So here am I, little immigrant. This is what I was wearing, okay? Baby Christian. I still wear leather jackets, though, but this was a real rocker jacket. It was zippers everywhere. I had tight black pants. And so the couple that were picking me up at the airport, in Ontario Airport, they were older, and the Lord had spoken to them that I had to go stay with them for a few months. And she remembers picking me up. Here's this little thing in the middle of the night, coming from Scotland, and they were going. I was going to go stay at their home. Now, I was heartbroken. They didn't even know at that point, was I going to commit suicide, because there's a big lake there. They had no idea, but the Lord had spoken to them and said that the scripture in Hebrews, be careful entertaining strangers, because you could be entertaining, angels unaware. So they knew it was of the Lord. But she told me afterwards, Jerry, she said, wow, when we picked you up, we thought, we heard the Lord. This little thing here is going to be staying in our house. But of course, it was in the Lord's plan. But anyway, this was my style. So as we're driving up to Green Valley in the middle of the night, I'm looking at all these billboards, and it was nothing but cowboy hats, cowboy boots, and just weird stuff. And I was like a city girl, you know. I just came off Life in the Fast Lane, and I thought, what have I done? Lord, what have I done? Can I? And then we went to the church that Sunday morning, and a lot of the women, a lot of them, had flowery dresses, big flowers, all these flowers, and I think nearly all the women had big bows in their hair. And I thought, Lord, I don't know if I can ever get into this mold, but I'll try, Lord, if that's what you want. And everybody had these huge, in the States they have, they've probably got them here now, I don't know, but it's Bible covers for your Bible, and they've got all these big frills. And I thought, I don't think I can ever have one of them. I just don't think I can. And, you know, over the years, I've just watched. It's what's in the heart that matters, because I love these women, because there's some of them still wear the flowery dresses. But, you know, it's the heart the Lord looks at, and we don't have to fit a mold. We don't have to fit a certain look in order to be accepted by the Lord. Although, you know, I really want to make a point here on the modesty issue. I feel very, very strongly. You can be hip and real vogue and look really cool and still be modest. Because we're given out a signal everywhere we go. We're the ambassadors of Christ everywhere we go. If you're given out the wrong signal, guess what? Where's your credibility in saying that you're a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ? So we need to be careful. It's okay to be cool, but it's not okay to be immodest in our dress. But I know you guys all know that, because everybody's so modest. So anyway, getting back to the point that John would dress kind of bizarre. I went way off there, but you know what? It's okay, isn't it? I just wanted you to get a picture for a minute, the way I used to dress, and I still wear leather jackets, so. But God, for Elizabeth and Zacharias, he had a wonderful, glorious blessing in store for his daughter of faith. I'm going to read to you a scripture
from Isaiah.
I love this scripture.
It's Isaiah. You can write down the reference and look it up later. It says there in verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." Oh, I'm sorry. It's chapter 30, verse 18. Isaiah 30, 18. God often has his wait because he wants to do so much more. And that's why in that verse there it says, "Therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious to you." God honored Elizabeth's faith by giving her so much more, exceedingly, abundantly, above all she could ask or think. Because you see, Elizabeth had the privilege to be the first woman to confess the coming of Jesus in the flesh. She experienced the glory of his presence as no one ever had before. Let me look at the text here in Luke, back in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 39. "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Can you imagine this? The babe leaped in her womb. She bore witness in the flesh. She felt the physical in her womb because she bore witness to the coming of the Messiah. What joy of this woman of faith to have a tangible touch of Almighty God right inside her. Because in verse 44, it said she jumped for joy. The child jumped for joy. Then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The child leapt for joy. Even before the child was born, Psalm 139 talks of being fearfully and wonderfully made before we're even born. God thought of you. Now for Elizabeth, I'm sure that it was indescribable. Indescribable gift that words could not adequately express her joy at that moment. Because you see, God being sovereign, he knew all along that this moment was going to come. He knew. When he would so richly reward his faithful servant Elizabeth. The prayers and tears of her yesterdays, which had probably been long forgotten by Elizabeth. The dreams and the desires that she may have had as a young woman in the springtime of her life were by now a distant thought for Elizabeth. But not with God. He knew the exact moment when he was going to do this wonderful miracle. He knew the precise time when he was going to receive the most glory for the blessing that he had bestowed upon his servant Elizabeth. He accomplished the impossible, and he made it possible. You see, here's the point. If God answers us when we request it, what if God had have let me marry this latest guy that appeared to be, "Hey, you're the answer to everything"? He wanted to marry me within the first week. He was convinced I was his wife. And he was a babe, let me tell you. He's a really handsome guy. Very talented, very gifted in many ways. He's an actor, singer. He does a one-man play. I mean, he was awesome. This was, "Hey, where have you been all my life?" God could have let me fall into that trap of saying, "Okay, you answered me, God. Okay, I believe you. Let's get married." But for some reason, even though I never understood it, I never had that release to marry him. And God used the circumstance. But you see, if God had have answered my prayer, it would have been, "Oh, he's the one. That's it. Let's go down here together. Let's go down the glory road together." But God knew. Now, I'm saying this in past tense because I'm positive that he's not the one, even although for a long time I thought he was. But that's what
Kathleen could see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. I could see him. Therefore, I thought, he is the one from God. He is the one for me. But yet God has another plan. Can you see I'm seeing this in faith? There's no evidence. Where's the evidence? Where is he, Lord? But I believe. I believe. So if God had have answered Elizabeth and Zacharias' prayer at the time it had been requested, he would not have received the amount of praise and glory that he received now, because his perfect will had been accomplished. His perfect will had been accomplished. My prayer throughout the whole time for a husband has been, your perfect will, Lord. If not, remove the desire for marriage. I want your perfect will. I want to be with the one that you have designed specifically for me, for the glory of your name, the perfect counterpart that you've created for me. That's who I want. And if he was never made at all, then praise the Lord. Maybe I will wear a flowery dress and a bow. I don't think so. That's never going to happen. I would be okay being a single woman for the rest of my life, if that's God's plan. But I have hope in my Lord. But fulfillment is in him. That's why I'm content. And serve him and love him. So God's perfect will was waiting for Elizabeth and Zacharias. And it had now been accomplished. And it was accomplished. His perfect will was accomplished through a womb that had been barren. He made it fruitful. In the same way, he will take the barrenness of a soul and give it fruit in abundance. He'll give it fruit in abundance. The wilderness of the desert, he will spring up fountains of living water. He will make fruit out of the barrenness of a soul, of a soul. Look at my life. Look how disastrous it was. It was awful. It was terrible. It was disappointing. It was disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. It was going nowhere. Sure, I had a face on, and sure, my life looked real glamorous. People thought I had it all. People thought, hey, she's got it made in the shade. She said an easy life, look at her. It was no easy life. God took the barrenness of my soul and gave me fruit in abundance. And the fruit was his word, his promises, his love for me was realized in my heart. And even without the evidence today of what appears to be the successful life, being able to say, you have this, you have this, you have a home. Right now, I don't even have a physical address. I'm kind of in transition again. And it's like, God, what are you doing? But it's kind of cool, because I don't know what's next. It's really neat. It's good living a life of faith. I love it. Faith and sight are opposite. Elizabeth believed without seeing any evidence, and God rewarded her. You know, there's more through the glorious testimony of Elizabeth, because she was able to express with confidence to her cousin Mary, who was a young girl, in verse 45 of chapter 1, one of the most beautiful verses, and take a note of that reference, Luke 1:45. She exhorted and encouraged her cousin Elizabeth with these words, "Blessed is she that believed, because there will be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Blessed is she, or how happy is she who believes, because there will be a performance of those things shown and told to her from the Lord. Do you know why she could speak forth words of comfort and encouragement to this young virgin? Because she could say from first-hand experience that she had trusted, she had been tried, and now she had the triumph, because she was pregnant with child. The impossible had been achieved through this woman. So with experience, she was able to say, blessed are you because you believe. Because there will be a performance. There will be a performance of those things told to you by the Lord. Kathleen, there will be a performance. There will be. There's no evidence, but there will be a performance because you believe. Now, I'm not into the name it and claim it thing. This stupid blab it and grab it. I'm believing that God's plan for me is incredibly awesome. I believe that today. I absolutely believe it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I desire to please God. Do you? Do you desire to please God today? Then we got to believe that He is the initiator of all the promises, that He will perform the things that He has told us in His Word, that His plan is a good plan, and He is going to work it together for good. Jeremiah 29:11, Romans 8:28. He is going to take all of this junk in our lives, and He is going to turn it around. But first of all, you have to give it to Him like we did last night, which is continuous. It's a continual thing. We're all under construction. Just because I'm standing up here doesn't mean you say I've arrived and I know it all. I know nothing except Christ and Him crucified and that I'm going to see Him. I believe that. That's what I'm believing. And Elizabeth chose the same thing. She believed God. She had the faith, the gift of faith, to know that she could trust Him at His word. I want us to be in that place today. No matter what the world is throwing at us, no matter what the devil is lying to us about and deceiving us with, oh, you really should get a little anxious, you know. Because this and because of that and because of the next thing. No. Our hope is built in nothing less than Jesus and His righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In closing, Elizabeth experienced spring. When? In the spring of her life? In the summer of her life? No. She experienced spring in the autumn of her life. Elizabeth was rewarded faithfully by a faithful father who remembers, who hears, who cares, who answers always. Always He answers. Maybe not at the time we request, but He always answers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of Your goodness. You are faithful when we are faithless. We know faith is a gift from You. We desire to believe the promises. We desire to know You more. Father, we know this is Your perfect will because it's in Your word. So Lord, we ask right now
the continuation of that surrendering of anything that is in the way. Anything at all that is in the way of making us not believe these promises. We ask that you will take away fear. Take away the fears of the circumstances. Take away the fear of the what maybe or what if or what will I do. Lord, you've done it. It's finished. It was finished at the cross. That's why you died. We thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son. Lord, we ask if there's anyone in this room this morning that's not experienced, doesn't know how much you love them because you died for them. Lord, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, let them know you died for them. They were on your mind as you went to the cross. And if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you think you know him, but you don't really know him, you're not really sure, I would ask that right now, while your eyes are closed, that you would say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to have you in my heart. And you simply have to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. My life has been messed up, and I've messed up. Other people have messed me up. But Lord, I'm asking, by faith I'm asking, come into my heart, because I don't understand everything that's going on. I don't understand, but I'm believing. I'm choosing to believe by faith that you died for me personally. So come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be Lord of my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me a hunger for your word. And Lord, remind me that I'm soon going to see you face to face. Because we don't have tomorrow. We don't have our next breath unless it's from you. So Lord, come to my heart. Come in. We ask it in Jesus' name. If there's any women here that accepted the Lord maybe a long time ago, but somehow other things get in the way, the priorities changed, and somebody else went on the throne for a while. Maybe it was a boyfriend, maybe it was a job, maybe it was something that you coveted. We ask for that person. In their heart, in the quietness of their heart, is between you and the Lord. To say, Lord, I've strayed. I want to come back. I want to have you again. Number one, I want to have you as my focus for my life. I want you to be the shepherd that you are, to lead and direct me in the way I should go. Lord, I'm sorry for straying, for leaving you. Help me to rededicate every action, everything in my life, to your sovereign will. Help me to serve you with gladness and with joy, in spite of nothing else changing in my life. Because I have faith to believe that you will perform the things that you've promised. Because you cannot lie. So Lord, help me now continue to follow you. Thank you that you are the one,
that first loved me. And at this very moment, no matter what I've been doing, you love me. Thank you. In Jesus' name. I'm going to end by singing a song that I don't sing very often, therefore I need the words. We sing it at Calvary a lot because God is faithful and because He loved us so much. I'm able to know that the words are totally from my heart.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever shall be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Sing it with me.
Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, no mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
And that's our prayer today. Great is Your faithfulness, Lord, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. Now, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to You that I am a sinner. I believe that You died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto You. And thank You, Lord, for Your gift of eternal life. And I receive You this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God, and in His eyes, you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often, and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ, and we'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. But Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us. at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. And may the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family.